following is a presentation of Genoa. For more information, find us on the web at genoachurch.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome the Jackson family to the platform today? Now, I have to do a little bit of apologizing because these guys did not know until 2 minutes ago they were coming up on the stage. And this is not the Jackson 5, this is the Jackson 4. But they can do more with 4 than the other group could do with 5, trust me on that. You'll recognize very quickly, this is Stanley Jackson. Stan served as our quarterback, amen. Great to have Stanley and his boys here this morning. Stan played for The Ohio State University in 1997 and 98, shared that quarterback position with Joe Germain. You guys went on to win the Rose Bowl and had an incredible time there, and then went on professionally to play professional football in the Canadian Football League from 99 to 2003. He came back to Ohio and became co-owner of an indoor arena football league called the Marion Mayhem, if I remember correct, Stanley, and set several records there doing that. Following that gig, Stanley became a vice president for a Christian broadcasting company, has served on the State Board of Education, has been very involved in, most recently with the WTVN pregame and postgame. He is the voice of the Buckeyes. You hear him with Earl Bruce. It's a Thursday night show you do also, I believe. And is also a sports broadcaster on the Big Ten Network. And when he's not doing the things that he loves, he has a job. He's the president of a brand new bank, appropriately named a vice president of a new bank. And Phil Kinley's in that organization as well. He's the CFO. He didn't tell me that. I'll get a loan. He's the CFO. And they've named the bank Buckeye State Bank. And so I think that's a great name for him. Stanley, you need to know this is a church. How much Stanley helps me. He and his family, these guys lived in Marion most of their life, but they finally got right with God, and last few weeks they've moved to Westerville, Ohio. Let's give them a great hand for that. What you do not know is how Stanley helps our ministry here at Genoa. Most of you know that we love to work with small, struggling churches. They're starting out churches, pastors that sometimes are way out on their own. They're discouraged. They don't think they can do anything. And they run generally between 25 and 50 people in their churches. And we come alongside them and show them very simple ways that they can get their attendance up over 100 and have high days. And just last Sunday, Stan went up and worked with one of our sister churches, Green Valley Southern Baptist Church in Mount Vernon. They've been running just a small number, but Stanley agreed to come speak on that Sunday morning and encourage them. They had 175 people last Sunday morning. Stanley, thank you for sharing that way and helping. So what I'd like you to do is just bring a Buckeye greeting and introduce these future football players for us, if you would.
They really think that.
Uh-oh. Let me see if they've got you turned. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, they think they're future football players, but they've got to go to school first. So this is my oldest boy. This is Stanley Jr. He's in the fifth grade. This is Trey Major. He's in kindergarten. And this is Ronald. And Ronald's a third grader. And they do all play football in the Westerville Youth Football League.
All right. And amen, guys. Thank you so much, fellas, for being here this morning. You guys don't remember this. You'd be the only one that could, Stanley. But you remember that incredible meal that we had together about 6 years ago when you were real young at the Waffle House up at Sunbury? It's the only restaurant in Delaware County you can butter your bread on the wall. I mean, it's a great place to go. And we had a nice Sunday brunch there one day after service when your mom and dad were here with us. Stan, tell us, how's Earl Bruce doing?
Earl Bruce is doing fantastic. You know, it was an unfortunate incident. He had a stroke, but he is up and about, walking around, and we're hoping that he'll be back on the radio soon. So he was at the game yesterday up in the press box,
all right,
yelling as normal when the Buckeyes don't play well. But he is doing a lot better. But continue to pray for him, you know, because Earl's a little up there in age. But he is recovering, and it's a good thing to see.
We love you, Stanley. Thanks for being here today. God bless
you,
my friend. God bless you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. People ask me on a regular basis, Frank, how in the world are you able to pull this off every year or every other year to be able to have the football players and all that takes place? This morning, you're going to have the privilege of hearing a great man of God that's involved with Athletes in Action. Tom, if you'll come on out. Ron, if you'll send Tom out to me, please. Tom Rohde and his wife Julie have been actively involved with Athletes in Action since 2002 at The Ohio State University. And this morning, Tom is going to be sharing with us, and he has some players coming along with him shortly. But would you give a great Genoa welcome as Tom Rohde opens the Word of God to share with us today? God bless you, Tom. Thanks for loving on us. Thank you. Let me get this out of your way.
Morning. Yeah, you're stuck hearing me a little bit. Let me just fill you in on who I am. My name's Tom Rohde. My wife is here also. Is she in the room, or is she? I think she's working her way in. We have the opportunity, the privilege of working with Athletes in Action at Ohio State. I've been working, and my ministry is directly with football players, basketball players, and with a few of the wrestlers, as well as coaches from any of the different sports. So I love what I get to do. My wife, Julie, over here, does the ministry with the female athletes at Ohio State. She has about 130 girls involved to some degree in the ministry. They have Bible studies on 12 or 13 of the teams. She mentors or disciples directly about 20 of the female athletes, and then they do a lot of the leading of the team Bible studies. So let me bring in the football guys, and here's what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to kind of give a message. I have basically 3 points, but in the midst of that, I'm going to interview the guys also and get some of their questions and sort of relate to what I'm talking about. Does that make sense? I don't know if it does or not, but that's what we're going to try. So, all right, so coming up first here, we have Joshua Perry from Olentangy. Raquan McMillan from South Georgia. And Jared Drake from Very Local. All right. So let me, I'm not checking my text. I had a couple of questions to ask these guys on here. So here's a few questions to kind of warm up, jump in, whoever wants to go first. How did you decide on Ohio State, other than for the weather coming from South Georgia, Rick?
Can I slide this back a little so they can see you guys?
Okay. How did I decide on Ohio State? Obviously, I wanted to play for one of the best coaches in the nation, Urban Meyer, but other than him and Nick Saban, I felt like there wasn't a different place in the world that I would rather play other than Alabama and Ohio State.
Well, my journey was a little bit different coming to Ohio State. I transferred after last year, so this is my first year here. And, I just saw the opportunity to come and play for the best team in the country, and I really wanted to take that opportunity, and I'm definitely happy to be back home.
Yeah, my journey is different than these guys, too. The biggest thing for me was I wanted to be somewhere I felt very comfortable. I always grew up watching Ohio State, so it's a local place. I would be close to my family. I'd get a great education. I knew that it was going to be a program that's just always around competing to be the best. And so those were all things that were important to me, and I got it close to home.
Okay. Any regrets, surprises, biggest adjustments so far?
Can't regret a national championship, so I'm good.
I regret trying to bring a coat from Georgia up to Ohio.
Or do you regret you're playing with all these other good linebackers and it takes away some of your tackles? You could be going 20 a game. Wait a minute, what do you think there, you guys?
We got 38 in 3 games, so I think he's all good there.
Any regrets, surprises?
The fact that I didn't come here sooner.
Yeah, Jerry.
All right, so who's the fastest guy on stage?
Me. I answered before him, so obviously you know I'm faster.
I think you're just nervous. That's why you answered fast.
All right, so
we still haven't raced it.
Here's the race to determine it. First one to touch Pastor Frank. Go. Oh, Josh Scotland. All right, baby. Who's the strongest guy on stage?
Raekwon.
Definitely me.
Kwon. Raekwon.
Oh, okay. We don't have to prove that. That's good. First one to beat Pastor Frank in arm wrestling. Who's the best looking?
Definitely me.
Let's take a let's take an audience. No.
I mean,
yeah, okay.
Definitely not Jared.
Not Jared.
They all have good self-image in that area. So, any memories from the national championship you want to share?
I just remember I didn't go to sleep for like two whole days because I was so excited. It was like a dream come true, again, coming from a place where you watch the Buckeyes growing up and then to actually be a part of something great. Doing it as a team, overcoming adversity. I think that was huge. And so that was probably my biggest thing is just the amount of time I spent up just trying to hang out with all my boys and really soak in the moment.
I think to me the funniest part was how if you asked me 5 years ago who was the best player at Ohio State, I probably couldn't have told you because I wasn't an Ohio State fan and I didn't know anything about it and I wasn't really interested in coming to Ohio for anything. No offense. But that was the interesting part. Now that 5 years ago I didn't know anything about the school, and now that I won a national championship before the school.
I got to watch it because I bought tickets.
All right, so let me go. Here's the first point, something to think about. One of the things that I do when I work with the guys at Ohio State is I don't trust my own opinions all that much. One of the things.
You have to use
the mic.
Sorry, man. You're on the radio in all 88 counties.
Yeah, right. Okay. Okay, so first point. One of the things that I do in the ministry at Ohio State is I don't necessarily trust my own opinions or all my inspirational thoughts. So these guys would probably say to you, and they'd probably agree that. When they get together, when we get together in groups, when we get together individually, we're in the scripture a lot. We're in the Bible. And one of the things I've seen, and I can't fully explain it, I fully believe the Bible is God's word. Amen. And so if the Bible says it, you know, I asked this question in Bible study the other day, and one of the questions was, you know, if the Bible is God's word, then the Bible is fill in the blank. And the first answer I got from almost all the guys was, then it's true. But the other one we got is that it's significant. It's important. And so I want to be exposing the guys to Scripture. The other thing I've seen through the years is repeated exposure to Scripture seems to draw out or have an effect in a guy's life more than just my interaction with them. And I can't fully explain the mystical effect of Scripture, but I've seen it. And I've seen it over and over. So here's a question for you guys. In your time at Ohio State, kind of relate. What are some of the opportunities you have to be in the scriptures or to hear biblical truth, Christian truth? Kind of in a normal week.
I'd say the biggest thing that we do is just spending time with you and Athletes in Action. I think that's huge just to have an opportunity and a platform to be able to get together, a forum to speak about the Bible and to grow in your faith. And then Coach Meyer does a great job. We have reflection because we're a state school. We can't have chapel, but we bring a former player in, and they usually talk about something out of the Bible just to give a little food for thought. And then the other thing that we do is we try to get active on campus, and Tom's done a great job involving us with some of the campus ministries. But it's all about just growing in your faith and expanding and talking to other people, just having that community to grow within.
For me, it was always how I would walk into the facility one day and not feeling that good, not really having my mind on my faith or anything like that. And I walk upstairs and see Tom, and this is just a quick reminder, snap back into it. Just give thanks and look at the place that you are and be thankful for everything that you have.
Yeah, when we walk into the facilities on a couple days a week, there will be Bible verses that are laid out on the tables that we eat at. And just having those there is a great way to start the workout, practice, whatever it is, just to get your mindset right. You know, whether you know you're down or you had a rough day at school, you read that, you snap back into it. And then there are great other outreach programs like Athletes in Action and other Bible studies that go on with other athletes to, you know, really just strengthen that bond that you have with your faith, with Christ, and other athletes around. So that's one of the big things for me.
Great. Yeah, so the first point would be the Scripture is important. Scripture is important. You need to look and say, how can I move forward in applying the Scriptures in my life, in getting it into my life, in sharing it with other people, etc. The next thing, in Romans chapter 1, Paul writes, or he says this, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So when we think about the gospel, you know, it's powerful. It's going to have an effect. But the second point I want to make is when I share the gospel, when I get in Scripture with people, one of the things I've seen, I've been in vocational ministry. My wife and I have been together in vocational ministry for 35 years. And one of the things I've seen consistently is that I'm terrible at predicting a person's spiritual future. You know, I can't look at you and say, oh, that guy's going to be interested in the gospel. Or that woman, if she comes to faith, she's going to really grow in her faith. I don't know. You know, so I don't want to pretend to know that. And what I would argue and what I would say to you is the gospel is something that everybody needs to hear. Like, don't look around you and just think, wow, who might be interested? I don't think even Pastor Frank would say, oh, yeah, I know. I know who's going to be interested and I know who's not. So I'm going to choose and who I'm going to talk to about Christ and who I'm not going to. And what I would say is everybody needs to know, and we need to sow broadly in those ways. Josh, maybe share, you know, when you responded to the gospel. Why don't you tell us that story?
Yeah, so I enrolled at Ohio State early. I graduated from high school a semester early. So I came in the winter of, January of 2012. And so it was definitely a struggle for me just transitioning into college courses. But also the bigger struggle for me was everything that was going on with workouts and trying to balance just, you know, college life with playing a sport. And tough thing was, it was a time of transition within Ohio State, because that's when Coach Meyer first came in. So he was trying to, leave his mark on us and let us know kind of who he was. And it wasn't very pleasant a lot of the time. So just a lot of stuff I was struggling with, you know, first time really being away from home and everything. And just, you know, something was kind of missing. And my parents, when I was growing up, would always tell me, have faith in God and the whole thing. Make sure you pray, get in your Bible, all that kind of stuff. And it was just one thing that I kind of listened to them say, but mostly took it passively, never really took ownership of my own journey. But through the adversity that I faced when I first enrolled in college, I realized that I needed something more in my life and that I couldn't just face that adversity by myself. And so that March is when I really came to faith. And I think that was a huge turning point, obviously, because I realized the importance of my spiritual journey and what faith could do for me.
Yeah, and when Josh... kind of tying that together, he started coming to Bible study when he first... Or he was there at dinner. If he's there at dinner, he's going to get a chance to be at Bible study, because we kind of come to them. But that was when he was still, before he had officially graduated from high school, right? Because you came in early.
Yeah, so I finished up all my coursework a semester early in high school. Started college, still 17 years old, so young and naive and weak and soft in the whole deal, so tough.
One of the things I would say, going back to the first point about the importance of Scripture, I'd say Josh and I, in the time since then, we've probably studied verse by verse through at least half the books in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more than that.
You spend a lot of time together. It's a great time to grow.
Yeah. And Raekwon came in early too. But let me ask you, guys, and Josh, you can come back in on this. I'll throw it to you first. You know, if you would say to people in the audience or that are thinking about this, people listening, what would you say are top three reasons that you're glad that you're a Christian?
Top three reasons that I'm glad I'm a Christian. Like I said earlier, for one, when you go through adversity, you always have that basis to refer back to. When you have no basis, you have no foundation, then it's hard for you to even be stable as you build. Two, having family members that you can always give them advice about. If you don't know exactly what they're talking about, their subject, you can always refer them to a Bible verse. Refer them to something that is per se in the Bible. And for three, I would have to say that just peace of mind. Yeah, you know, when you're out there on the field, there's a bunch of chaos going on. Your coach is yelling at you and whatnot. It's hot. You don't feel like practicing. all of the above. Just at the end of practice, all the linebackers try to get on the knee, and we all pray together. Not together, but we all pray individually. And it just gives you that peace of mind to know that you have that foundation.
For me, I'd say the first reason I'm really glad that I'm a Christian is because it gives me an opportunity to realize that what I do is bigger than just me. And, you know, my talents, my experiences, that especially being on such a like team, we're playing a team sport, it makes me realize that what I'm doing is not for me, it's for my teammates, and it's for the glory of God. And it's for, and it gives other people opportunity to ask me questions about it and gives me a chance to share my faith. Two, I think that I really enjoy the fact that I just get to know other Christians and get to grow with them and strengthen my faith and help strengthen theirs. And then I get to meet guys like Raquan and Josh who, you know, I get to look up to them. You know, they're ahead of me on the field. They're ahead of me in school. But they're also leaders in faith. And because of that, it puts me in a position where that I can follow their footsteps. And three, you know, I'd have to agree with the peace of mind because playing at Ohio State, it's not easy. There's a lot of hard times, it's the grind, as we call it. And when you can fall back and realize that you have God on your side, that you have something so much bigger than you, it just makes everything that much easier and makes it seem like when you're tired and you don't want to go do bench press, you know, it makes it seem so small compared to everything that he went through to save us, for our Savior.
I mean, I would just have to piggyback off of both of those guys. They made some great points. You know, Raquan's talking about having people around you and just kind of the support that you feel from being a Christian, and I think that's huge. You know, you can never go along any journey by yourself, and anything that you do in life, there's always something else behind it that kind of helped you to get to where you are. And so kind of going off of what he said, I think that's huge. They both said it, peace of mind is a really great thing because, I mean, going through every step in your life, there are going to be things that you're unsure about. But to have a foundation that is the surest thing there ever was is amazing. And then I would say eternal life, because at the end of the day, things, whether they're good or bad on earth, are nothing compared to what it's going to be like in heaven.
So each of these guys has responded to the gospel, some when they were younger, some when they were, well, I don't know, how old is he when he responds? 18? That's like old on this stage for responding to the gospel. But when we say the gospel, one of the things to pull back into is exactly this point that Josh made. One of the things these guys have heard me say, and the guys will hear me say periodically, is when you think about eternal life, if you're young, that might not be something you're thinking about a lot. But what they've heard me say multiple times is 200 years from now, eternal life is going to seem like a really big deal. You know? And I think we need to look at that and prepare for it here. And that's what the gospel is. It comes back. What is the core of the gospel? And this is something that we need to know and embrace. Core of the gospel is that God came to earth as a man. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And he came for a purpose. He said, I came to give my life as a ransom or as a payment for many. And why did he come to give us to pay a ransom? Well, because we're in trouble. Now, oftentimes, you know, I went through probably the first 16, 17 years of my life not necessarily knowing I was in trouble. Like, you can be in trouble and not know it. J- Jesus knows that we are, and that's why he went to the cross to pay for our sin. And yet then he does everything we need for forgiveness and eternal life, but we need to then respond to it. And I remember seeing a verse back when I had just graduated from high school. It was right before I went to college. And in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says this. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him." So he knocks at the door of our life, the door of our heart. And yet we need to open the door. We need to respond. I remember when I first saw that verse, kind of not with much of a Bible background or church background at all. But I remember seeing that verse and thinking, you know what? You know, how many of you would say, before you came to faith, you prayed sometimes? I mean, I did. And I remember kind of talking to God, you know what? God, I have a doorstep relationship with you. I've been kind of slipping you notes under the door. You know, help me out of this one. Sorry about that one. See you next Christmas. You know, whatever it is. But I had never once and for all opened that door. Finally said yes to Christ. And each of these guys has done that. And I'm sure that they would say to you, you need to make that choice if you haven't done it. You need to say yes to him once and for all. Seemed like I had another question for these guys before I wrap it here. Let's see.
Okay. Maybe if you tightened up that handwriting there, Tom, what's you'd be able to. So if you tightened up that handwriting there, Tom, you'd be able to read your questions.
In Hebrews chapter 2, though, verse. You know, one of the things is I do have a hearing problem, so I caught some of what he said, but I missed it. So I don't know what's going on. So give me that line again. What did you say?
He said if you tighten up your handwriting, you'll be able to understand what you're asking.
Chapter 2, the writer has gone through something in the first chapter, and he's laid out who is Jesus, that he's absolute God in human form. And then he goes and he talks about what Jesus accomplished. And then he says this, I want you to listen, chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? How will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And when you think about that, he says, we must pay much closer attention, lest we drift away. Now, how can he know that if you don't pay attention, you're going to drift away? I mean, how does he know, how does the author know that the direction of your drift is going to be away from God and not toward God? I'm not sure how he knows that. But it's the reality that's being spoken. That if you're here today and you're thinking about responding to Christ and you don't, the tendency is you're going to drift away. Not to say you can't turn back and come back to that decision, but it's going to be a drift. And for us as believers, if you've come to faith in Christ, the tendency is the world is not a neutral place. And the drift is going to be away from God. If you don't choose to willfully, purposefully, seriously pursue the things of God. So let me ask you, as far as pursuing the things of God, here's the last question for you guys. How have you grown spiritually while you've been at Ohio State?
Just spending time in the scripture. You know, it's always a good idea to ask somebody who you look up to, who's been doing something longer than you, for their advice and for their perspective. And so I spend a lot of time with Tom just trying to pick his brain a little bit and getting to know what he knows. But then also taking what I know and sharing it with other people too, just trying to help as many people grow as possible, because by doing that I know I can grow too. I think that's a big part of the journey. It's not about necessarily what I can do for myself, but what I can help other people do too.
whenever I think about myself growing through faith, I always think about how my mind always refers back to it. So even when I'm doing something random, I always refer my mind back to my faith. So back 2 years ago, I'll be doing something and I'll never think about it until like I lay down at night or I'm about to pray. When it's time to pray, that's when I think about it. But throughout the day, my mind refers back to it all the time. So I think that's me growing through my faith. And just like Joshua said, with being able to share your faith with your teammates and people that you associate yourself with is showing that you're growing in it too.
I know you haven't been at Ohio State very long, but go ahead.
So in the short time that I've been there, along with Tom coming to the facilities and sharing those Bible verses with us and deepening our faith a couple times a week, I've also gotten involved in some other Bible studies through Athletes in Action, which has really gotten me to know or helped me know other athletes who also have faith through other sports, lacrosse, basketball, baseball. And through that, I've heard experiences of them going out on campus and doing outreaches and just going up to random people and asking, hey, do you have a faith? They started out asking like random questions like, so how do you think the football team is this year or whatnot? And then they would just kind of flip it on them and be like, so do you believe in God? Is Jesus your savior? And I actually heard this story last week at Athletes in Action where there was this exchange student from, I believe it was China, and his host family is a Christian family. And they gave him a Bible and shared a little bit with him. And so that kind of opened the doorway for him. And then these girls, I believe they were on the track team or I don't know what sport, but they went up to this guy and they flipped the question on him and asked, do you believe in Jesus? And the guy responded saying that he doesn't know what to believe because, he's never been introduced, but he feels that there's a greater power there. And he feels that there's something pulling at his heart. And these girls shared a Bible verse with him. And they said, go read this Bible verse. It's a great gateway into opening up your heart and opening up your mind. And he said that the crazy thing is, my host family told me to read the same exact Bible verse. So right then and there, I think that young man really realized that there's something out there. And so to know that we have students that are going out and doing that, and to know that Ohio State has the opportunity for us to do that is huge. And I mean, I just think that that's a great part. And just that story is unbelievable and truly a miracle of God.
Okay, last question, a little bit maybe specific. How do you see your faith affecting you as a player, specifically as a player? Any thoughts on that? If not,
Yeah, the one thing, and this has a lot to do with many things, but I think it has a lot to do with faith, is that I don't feel myself pressing on the field, and that means I don't feel like I need to go out there and do anything superhuman. I feel like I can just play ball, and whatever happens is going to happen. I know it's going to be a positive outcome. The other thing is that my mind is so much clearer now. I have faith, and so I know that whatever happens throughout the course of the game is for a reason. God has a plan, and his timing's always right. His plan has never been wrong. So you just go out there and just play ball. And I think that's huge because it allows you to just grow as a player. Really have faith in your teammates too, just knowing that they're purpose people, and then just to be able to have fun.
Don't let Joshua fool you. He's a very violent person on the field.
I never said I wasn't violent. I just said I'm not pressing.
To me, it's a very violent sport in practice and in the game. But with all the violence and chaos and 100,000 fans screaming at you and the coaches, when you come back to the sideline and it's time to relax and know what's happening to you on the field, that peace of mind always come back to me. You get to sit there and laugh and joke at Joshua because he missed a tackle or something like that. Or he's laughing at me because I did something stupid. But
yep.
But just that peace of mind, man, on the sideline, you know, just being able to relax and then go back out there in the chaos and be able to perform at a high level.
Yeah, sure, I've got a thought. Plenty of thoughts.
Jerry's got thoughts on everything, guys.
I think it gives purpose to what we do. I think having a faith, like I shared earlier, is one of the reasons why I'm glad I'm a Christian, is because, I mean, these guys play, I cheer them on, but I practice with them. You know, we get a chance to do this, sit up in front of people and share our faith. So I think the fact that, you know, we do what we do as athletes is great, but the fact that we have that faith and have the opportunity to go share it is what makes being the athlete so much better. So.
Let me close with this. What we looked at today, kind of as a recap, as we talked about, hey, the importance of the scripture. You need to think, how am I going to move forward in embracing the scripture in my life and responding to it, etc. The importance of the gospel, that the gospel is there, everybody needs it, and we need to respond to it. And thirdly, that if we don't willfully, intentionally pursue the things of God, we will drift away. So let me close our time with this. Just take, let's say, 1 minute, just by yourself to pray, to reflect on these things in your response to God. And if you're here and you'd say you've never responded to God, this would be a time you could, in the quiet of your heart before Him, to say once and for all, I want to open that door of my life to you, and I invite you to be my Savior and Lord.